The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
If you have your Bibles, let's, if you would please, turn in them to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. I'm going to start with the first couple of verses. It says, it is good to give praise to the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Good words. Jerry Rice, the former wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers, was, you know, he'll be known as one of the best to play the game. He also is known as one of those who worked the hardest at that game. He once made this statement: today, I will do what others won't, so tomorrow, I can do and accomplish what others can't. Yeah. One key word, I think, in that whole quote that makes all the difference. What do you think that key word is? It's the word today. Today. Today I will do what others won't, so tomorrow I can accomplish what others can't. Experiencing the life that you want to live, the one that our Lord wants us to live, comes down to this one word. This very one word. And what you do with that one word today comes down to that. It comes down to the what I'm going to refer to probably several times this morning. It comes down to the rhythm of life. Doing the same things again and again and again in a consistent tempo of daily living. And so just like, and I think everyone in the room would agree with me, I know the people on the worship team would, and just like good rhythm is essential to good music, good rhythm is essential for right living, effective and godly living. So where does one start? You start with the principle of gratitude. You get into the rhythm of gratitude. Today, tomorrow, the day after that, the day after that, it becomes a way of living, the rhythm of gratitude. This is where an effective life begins. It begins with gratitude. You know what happens when you become a grateful person? You know what happens when that happens to you? When you become actually grateful, you enter into the presence of the Lord. That's what happens. It's what David said: I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in the Lord. Psalm 100, verse 4. You want to be closer to God? If your answer is yes, then I simply would say, get gratitude. Get grateful. The more grateful you become, the nearer you draw to the throne of God. So today, we're going to look at this and talk about what is involved in our living this rhythm of life, this rhythm of gratitude, this on a daily basis. Here's the first thing that we see right from this psalm here. Never lose sight of God's love for you. Now, I think that, you know, that's, yeah, right, Dave, I get that, I know that, but would you agree with me that often we can be guilty of just kind of taking that for granted? He loves you. The God of the universe loves you. And he loves you like nobody else could love you. And he proved that by sending his son, didn't he? He loves you. Never, ever lose sight of that because it's important. You see, I think the tendency of some people who often don't think they have anything to be thankful for, begin to evaluate their lives only in terms of what they don't have, which is just crazy when you stop and think about it, but it's what people do. They evaluate their lives on the basis of what they don't have. All they see around them is lack. I don't have this. I don't have that. This kind of thinking can only lead to more ungratefulness, sadness, and even depression. But if instead you make it a point to start the day verbally with your words, giving thanks for the fact that God loves you, it will begin to open up other areas in your life, and you'll begin to take notice that he really does love you, and you begin to recognize that and see that in so many other different areas of your life, how that has been active, God's love. It may start with the most basic things. I have a pulse. I'm breathing. I'm upright. Still above ground, one friend used to tell me all the time. How are you today? Above ground. It can move on to some other pretty basic but yet very important things. Forgiveness, mercy, Jesus, eternal life, abundant life, your church community, God's word, the Bible. We got so much to be thankful for and grateful for. As you do this, as you allow the love of God to open your heart and to open your eyes, you will see that there is much to be so grateful for that would move us into this rhythm of gratitude. In fact, if you were to begin to write those things that you began to take notice of, you're going to need more than a piece of scratch paper. You're going to need a notebook, church. Because that's who our God is. This, of course, means you don't look at what you don't have, but instead you look at what you do have. Jesus. And you've heard me say this before. If any of us in this room, including myself, never ever experienced another good circumstance coming into our life, you would still have more than enough to be thankful for and grateful for simply because God loves you and has saved you and has given you promises and an inheritance. Man. So it means you don't look at what you don't have. You don't look at what you don't have yet. You don't look at what you don't have now. And you don't look at what you probably will never, ever have. And especially, you don't look at what you used to have. Instead, focus on all that you do have right now. And that begins with having Christ and Christ alone. When it comes to the past, your head, my head, can often play games on us. We see an example of this in the book of Numbers. Moses, as you know, he was called by God to go back to Egypt and to lead them out of bondage, right? To lead the people of Israel out of slavery, out of bondage. And so he does, and they go, and you guys know the story. They're on their way to the promised land, folks. Let's not forget that. The promised land, that place flowing with milk and honey as it's described in Scripture. And they're in transition, and yeah, they've got to get from Egypt to the promised land by way of a place called a desert. And God provides for them on a daily basis manna, heavenly food. And some of them still found a way to complain and grumble. Let me just read it to you real quickly from the book of Numbers. And some of you are familiar with this, and I love the way it starts. As the people who are doing the grumbling are being described as in the NIV, the rabble. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, "If only we had meat to eat," We remember the fish that we had in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. And then look at verse 6. This just cracks me up because this is so how we can be. But now I'm not even hungry. I'm tired of looking at manna. Give me some food. I've lost my appetite. Is there anything out there except manna? The Israelites did what we are so prone to do. Amen, church? Their focus was on the things that they no longer had. Are you seeing that? Never mind that they're no longer slaves in Egypt. Never mind that they no longer have a cruel taskmaster over them and beating them. Never mind they're on their way to the promised land. Somehow they find a way to grumble and complain. The complete opposite of gratitude for what God is doing in their lives. Their poor little tummies miss the onions and the garlic and the fish. They could only think about that what they no longer had. You may be tempted to do this sometimes. I used to have a better job. I used to have a better car. I used to have a better house. I used to have more money. For some, I used to be younger. That really was apropos for the groups on Saturday night. I used to have more energy. I've lost this and I've lost that, and sometimes I feel like I've lost it all. And this kind of backward looking can never lead you into a life of living in the rhythm of gratitude, which changes everything. Here's a question for you. Is it possible to head in two directions at once? You're thinking, oh, it's a trick question, huh, Dave? Well, consider what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. As a follower of Jesus Christ, your physical body will eventually decline. In fact, it is in decline. It's just how it is. But the Word of God tells us, and amazingly great news is, but on the inside, your spiritual life can experience vibrant renewal day by day. Vibrant renewal. You may be struggling physically, diminishing outwardly. You may not heal as quickly as you used to. You may not have the energy that you had 10 years ago. But inwardly, your spiritual life can be the complete opposite of what might be going on your physical life. More real, more alive, more bright, more hope, more everything inside. You are being drawn so much closer to Jesus in the process. And as your physical strength and abilities diminish, your spiritual strength is to be on the increase, on the rise, church, day by day. The key? Gratitude. The psalmist goes on to say in this 92nd psalm in verses 12, 13, and 14, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God, and they will still bear fruit. I love this part, in old age. That's good news, Kenny.
Yes, it is.
They will stay fresh and green. Not the smell of stale. Fresh and green. Organic, if you would. Don't you love that? This is God's purpose for you, for me. Living in the rhythm of gratitude, bringing this kind of life to us. Isaiah would agree with that. He says in Isaiah 58, verse 11, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. The simple truth is, the more you focus on how much God loves you, the more you're going to realize how much God loves you. And the more you'll begin to notice how much you have to be thankful for. And how that creates the awareness of all the good that really is going on in your life, regardless of the circumstances and regardless of what our world would call that circumstance, good or bad. Nevertheless, because He loves us and is changing us and forming us into the image of His Son and renewing us on the inside on a daily basis, the key being gratitude. Oh my goodness. Our spiritual strength increasing while the physical man might be diminishing. The whole deal, what happens here in that process is the more you appreciate your life, the more your life is going to appreciate. Here's something else I want us to see and to be encouraged to do in our finding that groove in the rhythm of gratitude is begin and end each day declaring your gratitude to God. Those first two verses of Psalm 92, once again, in the ESV translation, go like this. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. Now, I'm not talking here, folks, about approaching this the way most people do with a New Year's resolution. Because as you know as well as I do, those barely make it out of the second week of January. That's not what we're talking about here. Okay? Those just don't work. This needs to be an all-in commitment, a do-or-die situation. There are no other options kind of approach to what we're talking about here. Every morning, when you wake up, every night before you go to sleep, it's starting, it's ending, and everything in between with thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Commit to memory these two verses in Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2. Commit to memory another verse. It's Lamentations 3:23. For the steadfast love of the Lord never fails. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The focus is on getting into the rhythm of saying thank you. Thank you, God, for everything that you've allowed to touch my life. The Apostle Paul would put it this way in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. As we look ahead into the day, and as we're looking into that day that's approaching, we know that there's some things that have been planned, the planned activities. You've been alive long enough to know that there are also going to be things that you'll encounter that are unplanned, some of which may not be all that pleasant. But the scripture is clear. And because of His love and because of the rhythm of gratitude, we can be thankful. Regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the situation, because what they bring to us is another opportunity. Out of that will arise to put Jesus on display and His love to to a world who needs to see the real Jesus and his love and be touched by that. And as we look back each evening, we continue in the flow of gratefulness for his faithfulness and his presence and his love has guided and helped us maintain, and hear this, church, helped us maintain heaven's perspective on every single day and all that comes to us in that day. Heaven's perspective through the eyes of and the heart of gratitude. Begin and end each day by saying thank you to God for his faithfulness, for his presence in your life, and one more chance to serve him. Here's another reason why you will want to establish the rhythm of gratitude in your life. And it's being thankful will help you overcome and keep you from being overrun. Let me explain this way. This, what I'm about to share with you, is really what shaped this last point. And I think it'll help make more sense. Where I grew up in Southern California, I lived on a corner of a street that was a dead end. I guess we would call that a cul-de-sac. And on the at the end of that cul-de-sac was another kid, my same grade. We kind of grew up together. His name was Paul. And Paul was a bit of a wild child. My parents never were real excited about me hanging out with Paul. I learned a lot of things from Paul, which my parents weren't all that happy about. At elementary age, Paul had quite the colorful vocabulary, if you know what I'm saying. But you know what Paul did introduce me to that I still to this day cherish and have passion for, and that's motorcycles. Paul introduced me to motorcycles. And so we kind of grew up together, and by the time we got into high school, where I lived at that high school, four or five middle schools would dump into that high school. And so you had a great big old larger pool of friendship, right? And so through those 4 years of high school, I got involved in sports, and there was where my friends were. And Paul, not so much in sports, and he developed other friends. And so we distanced a little bit, but we were still friends. And plus, we were kind of like in the same neighborhood. Time comes to graduate. Graduation takes place, and sometime after the graduation into that next year, Paul was walking by my house. I'm on the corner of the cul-de-sac. He's headed for where he grew up. And I happen to be out in the front yard, and so we see each other, and we're happy to see each other, and we spend some time talking and catching up. We hadn't seen each other a whole lot up to that point. And boy, I had a lot to catch up with Paul because he had just got married, and he had just got drafted. And he was to report within the next few weeks. We had a good time talking and conversing. I was somewhat surprised to hear of the girl that he married. I knew her. Great Christian girl from high school. Helped me a lot in classes, if you know what I'm saying. What I did not realize is that that would be the last time that I'd ever see Paul. He reported for duty, and that duty took him to Vietnam. And the story that we were told is that while out on a patrol, his troop was overrun by the enemy, and all were lost. What takes place on the battlefield also takes place on the spiritual battlefield. And as far as I'm concerned, there are far too many Christians who are being overrun today by the spirit of this world. Far too many Christians today being overrun by the spirit of this world. Once again, in these first two verses of Psalm 92, the psalmist is not talking about how much he loves God. He is talking about how much God loves him. How does God love us?
He loves us unconditionally, patiently, and graciously, and mercifully, and kindly, and tenderly, and eternally. So when we start the day recounting how we are loved and how He is with us all day long, that empowers us to live our lives in a way that we are overcoming rather than the alternative of being overrun by the spirit of this world. In Psalm 118, verse 24, the psalmist tells us there, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it because He loves me and because whatever happens is for my good because He loves me. The day begins with that first moment of consciousness. When you're still in bed, before you have even opened your eyes, and you begin to deal with the reality of yet another day. Those brief moments, folks, are so critically important because in those first moments of consciousness, when you're breaking out of the fog of sleep, it is critical because it is then that you can set the course for your day. You could let your thoughts drift, thinking about the aches and the pains and the deadlines and the pressures, or even getting that first cup of coffee. Or you could repeat the words of Psalm 118:24, reminding yourself that this is the day, this is a gift from God to you, that He has all you need for whatever you're going to face, providing for you the strength and the power to overcome. Because once again, church, that is far better than the alternative of being overrun by the spirit of this world. Those who live in the rhythm of gratitude, I can guarantee you, will overcome. Guarantee. Based on God's word. Those who do not live in the rhythm of gratitude and somehow still with God's love even in the mix find a way to grumble and complain and allow themselves to be overrun by the spirit of this world, I can guarantee that that too will happen. It's a guarantee either way. Which do you want for your life? You want to overcome? Or do you prefer being overrun by this enemy who just wants to destroy you and take you out? We can fill the time living for ourselves, letting the time sift through our fingers hour by hour, day by day, week by week, until a whole year has gone by and we look at it and virtually there's nothing to show for it in terms of the kingdom of God. Or we can fill the time of every new day, every fresh new 24 hours, every 1,440 minutes, every 86,400 seconds by living for Christ and living for others. It's up to you. One last thought with regards to overcoming and not being overrun. I am convinced that love and kindness are the overflow, the outflow of a grateful heart. And it causes us to be creative and resourceful when it comes to meeting the needs of others. Folks, after all, can we just be reminded we serve and we belong to a God who is a creative God, the one who created the universe, right? And He has put that within us. We can find resourceful ways of meeting needs and helping them move into their very own discovery of living in the rhythm of gratitude for their own lives and finding Jesus as we have put Him on display. When you live in that way, when you are thankful for what you have and whose you are, acts of kindness are just naturally going to be a part of your life. Consider these three different individuals and their acts of kindness that flowed from grateful hearts. In Michigan, a man asked what he could do to help a young unemployed stranger. And the stranger admits that he's been struggling and putting food on the table and taking care of his family. This man in Michigan goes home, has a conversation with his wife. And the two of them decide that since he was already in his early 60s, he was going to submit the paperwork for early retirement, and so that this man, and arrange it so that this stranger could have his job. A Kentucky teenager came upon a stranded motorist who had locked his keys and his cell phone in the car. And as the teenager was approaching, he sees the guy kicking the tire in complete frustration. He comes up to the man and he says, "Well, what's wrong?" The guy tells him what's taking place. His keys, his cell phone are in there. And the family only has one car. There's no way he can get a message to his wife. The teenager pulls out his own cell phone and says, "Here, call your wife. Tell her I'm on my way to get the extra set of keys." And the man says, "But the 7-mile trip." The teenager says, "It's okay. I need the exercise." A Dallas woman found a way to help a deflated, discouraged grocery clerk named Sherry. They're in the store and the place is jam-packed because the weather report is that there's an ice storm on its way. And so the Dallas woman asks the grocery clerk, just in conversation as she's coming through the line, "How are you? How's it going?" And the lady says, "Well, no, actually not real good. My car window is broken, and I'm concerned that the plastic that I have over it just isn't going to make it through the storm, and I'm working the swing shift." Well, Sherry says, "Okay, well, I hope you have a good night." Goes out the door, but she's on a mission. You see, on the other side of the store parking lot was a bank. The lady goes to the bank, hooks up with the bank manager, and convinces him to shut down one of his drive-through lanes so that the grocery clerk can repark her car under the canopy of that. The man agrees. She goes back to the store, gets a hold of the store manager, and convinces her to let the grocery clerk have a quick little break so she can repark her car underneath the drive-through that's just been closed just for her. The woman is just in awe. And as the Dallas woman is leaving the store once again, not looking for any applause, any notice, the woman says, "Thank you," but she was already out the door and once again said, "Have a nice evening." Let me ask you a question. What would you say is your most dominant emotion day in and day out? What do you feel most of the time? Dread? Fear, shame, guilt, worry, anger. What tops the list? I want to make a suggestion for you. I got a new item for you to top your list with. The Bible does, and it's called gratitude. And it's living in the rhythm of gratitude. Practice thinking and speaking and living gratitude every day. You see, the bottom line is, church, and I think you would agree with me, there's not a one of us in this room that have any excuse for grumbling or complaining. Not a one of us. We have so much to be thankful for. We, of all people, as followers of Christ, should bear the marks on our countenance coming from our hearts of joy and contentment and peace and love and kindness flowing from our lives, because that is what we have received from Him. Amen. gratitude to God. Just simply on the basis because he loves you. And then you will see what a difference that will make. Not only in your life, but in the lives of who knows how many others. Well, Lord, we just thank you for your word, for the challenge and the encouragement that it brings. And Father, that whole concept and idea that gratitude leads us to in terms of empowering us and enabling us to be overcomers sure beats the alternative. And it breaks my heart, Lord, when I look out there and realize that there are far too many followers of Christ who are being overrun today in so many ways by the spirit of this world. Looking back on what they used to have, just looking at what they don't have rather than what they do have. And what they do have as ones who are in Christ far, far outweighs anything else. Help us get our hearts right, God. Help us get our minds right. Straighten us out, Lord. That we would see you and live for you in joy and contentment and in this rhythm of gratitude. And displaying that to a world that is lost and needing you. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more,